Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Monday, August 5th. I'm Lauren Schmidt, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, forward progress stopped on Kim-2 fire in Garberville. Humboldt planners keep close watch on cannabis farming. And the KMUD News Sports Report. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. Around 3:15 this Monday afternoon, a vegetation fire was reported within the Southern Humboldt Community Park in Garberville, near the Kim-2 entrance where the skate ramp and dog park are located. Initially a quarter acre in size, the fire would rapidly grow due to gusty winds and the field of tall, dry grass fueling the blaze, moving the fire towards private property adjacent to the park. KMUD News was on scene, and we spoke with the sole resident who was evacuated from his home.
Okay, I'm Keith Martini. I got a phone call from my neighbor, and he told me there was ash fall and to go outside and see how close the fire was. Well, when I got outside, it was right at the tree line coming right at me, about 20 to 30 foot high flames. And I got in on my lawnmower and drove up the property just so I could see where it was. And I got up in the opening, I saw it. Came back down and got in my car, and that's when the fire people started coming up there and told me that I needed to bug out, and so now I'm down here.
You said it looked like a wall of flames.
It looked like literally a wall of flames was coming 30 foot tall. The whole tree edge was in flame. Everywhere, every which way I looked, all I saw was flame rising up high, and I was like, man, it is time to go. It's not time to play.
Yeah, is this your first time being evacuated
from? Yeah, from that close to a fire, yeah. And I do the fire piles. All through the winter, that's what I do, and so I'm very good with fire. I understand it. I have no fear of it, but I have a proper respect for it. And when I saw that much fire coming, it's like, yeah, okay, it's time to get out of the way and let these guys do their job. And just as that white truck went past me, he told me it was time to go, you know, to get the hell off the property. Well, he turned around and came back down, and his car was completely covered with that pink fire retardant, so he was drove right up into it at that moment. It was that close where they dropped that stuff right on top of him, and he was maybe 50 yards from me when they hit with that stuff. So it was very close.
And right now we can hear chainsaws in the background. They're likely, you know, trying to do some structure protection.
And well, they're going to bring down any trees that are burning up top also. If anything's burning up too high for them to reach, they got to drop it.
And you know, were asked to leave. You saw the fire. You were ready to go. Firefighters kind of confirmed that belief for you. You actually just went back over there a few minutes ago. How did it look?
I could see into the forest there to where my house is, and it was fine, and there was a fire truck next to it. But they've marched probably 50 guys up that way with shovels and that, and they're all working to save the day. They just said it's going up the ridge a little bit, but the helicopter has landed. I don't see as much smoke, so I'm hoping they have it under control, but we got a pretty good wind out here today, so they're going to be at it all night, I think, you know, just making sure it's all safe, and it's going to be quite a deal.
And, you know, for our listeners, I know you're really familiar with the community park, your property is adjacent to it, you know, I've actually seen you do your pile burning kind of here, so you're familiar with it, but can you just kind of explain what we're seeing right now, such a different sight than what we're used to?
Yeah, it was a nice 3 foot tall, just a grassy, brown grassy, dry field just waiting to burn. I mean, that is typical. And there's really not much you can do about it. I mean, you mow it and you mow it. Well, then it gets too dry to mow. And there's still, it's going to grow another foot while it's dry even. And so this is just typical of anywhere out here. There's a lot of, everything's dry. Everything that's exposed that's not under a tree is dry kindling right now. And it's ready to burn. And that's exactly what it did.
And now we're seeing a couple acres of blackened earth here.
Yeah, just charred. It's just charred. I've never seen it look like this. This is really something to see. I mean, it's
One question I have for you, and over the past few years, members of the Wailaki tribe and volunteer fire departments have been doing cultural and prescribed burns at mm-hmm. this park.
Yes, they did one right up at the top here last fall.
You know, would you hope that we might see more broadcast burns of this area to prevent, you know, like you were saying, seeing the fire stack so high, you know, so some of those fuels could be mitigated so they aren't pushed towards your property?
Well, yeah, and it would be nice if they did just mow the entire fields. These fields, I know that they're bird sanctuaries and you've got to keep some of it, but this big flat here is just it's waiting for it. And you see how fast it goes. Within minutes, it was gone. And if the wind had blown that way, it'd be over the top of that hill. If it had blown that way, it'd be up on the highway. It blew into the trees here, which the trees kind of slowed it down and gave them a fighting chance, is what I feel. You know, that, like you said, the forests are a little damp still in there. And there's no grass down in there to burn, so.
What lesson have you learned that you would want other members of the public to know, especially as we all, you know, move closer and deeper into fire season and evacuations could happen at any moment?
Well, yeah, you should always be prepared. Be prepared to just, I didn't even put my shoes on. I'm wearing my slippers. I was out the door and gone. I mean, like, not, possessions mean absolutely nothing. Save yourself, save your animals. Get away from it, you know. I did see, when I turned to go back up the driveway when I was still on the lawnmower, and I saw a group of very large rats running across the driveway trying to get away from the fire. And I've never seen anything like that before. It was like, wow, they were big rats, and they were all just charging away from it, you know, like a whole group of them. And I was waiting to see what, you know, all the rest of the animals come out of the forest, too, because it was unbelievable.
Anything else you want the public to know?
Be safe out there. Make sure you don't drag your chains behind your trailer. Those chains drag and starts fires every single year, and people are just not concerned with it. They don't understand how simple it is for one little metal piece that's hot to break off and set in the grass and start a fire. And it happens here every year, and that's usually the cause. And if it happened along this road, I'm afraid that's probably either somebody threw a cigarette out or it's a chain. Those are the two most probable causes of this one.
As of news time, his home is still standing. Following our interview with Martini, we spoke with a CAL FIRE battalion chief to get further clarification on the fire size, the threat to the greater community, and its possible cause.
This is Jeremy Ward, battalion chief with the CAL FIRE Humboldt Del Norte Unit Fire Prevention Office. This afternoon around 3:15, 3:20 p.m., vegetation fire was reported down in Tubi Park, somewhere near the skate park. Our resources arrived at scene. The initial report was that the fire was only a quarter of an acre in size, but because of the winds that we're experiencing right now, they were not able to catch it on that quick initial small size. So with that, the fire is currently holding at approximately 10 acres. We do have numerous other aircraft and ground resources that were requested to the scene. And they're starting to make good progress. We cannot say that the forward progress has stopped yet, but hopefully we will be soon. As you can see behind us, some of the column has dissipated, though we still have a lot of problem areas near the line due to some areas in this oak woodland where there's more heavy fuels where it could contribute to spot fires outside the line.
Absolutely. Are you know, forward progress hasn't been stopped, but our crew is feeling pretty hopeful they're going to be able to tackle this?
I would like to say yes, but again, we can't control the winds, so there's things like that. So some of those problem areas that I spoke of, if we do get spot fires outside of the line, it could cause containment issues for the crews out here.
You know, knowing that the sheriff's office handles evacuation orders and warnings, are you able just to share if there's any residences that have been asked to leave by CAL FIRE?
We've had no official evacuations yet. However, there is one residence over here on the right flank that we do have resources with to help protect that property.
And I know this fire is under investigation. However, it does look like it originated from the roadside. Does that give any insight into how it may have started?
Not necessarily. It's much too early to tell.
Any helpful tips for the public?
Again, you know, we're starting to get a little spot of weather where it's going to be getting warmer and drier again, and folks maybe haven't already noticed it today. It's been pretty windy. You can feel some pretty good gusts picking up right now. So again, you know, we're still in the heart of fire season. There's lots of activity going statewide. We have resources still assigned in other parts of the state. I think we're still sending equipment out to the park fire. So just remember, folks, you know, again, it's fire season. People need to be extremely careful with their outdoor activities so that we prevent any of these preventable fires.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Battalion Chief Ward.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Mm-hmm.
Just before 6 p.m. news time, CAL FIRE has announced that the forward progress has been stopped. The dog park, visitors kiosk, and skate ramp are unscathed. However, there may be damages to the Soham Health Fitness Zone. Kimtu Road at Sproul Creek Road remains closed. Crews will likely remain on scene overnight to ensure hotspots are mitigated. Kiba News will continue to share updates. Cannabis cultivation permitting in Humboldt County continues to get scrutiny from the Planning Commission. KMUD's Daniel Mintz reports.
Humboldt County's Planning Commission continues to watch cannabis permitting with eagle eyes, scrutinizing even non-controversial applications. The latest round of cannabis permits got approvals at the August 1st Commission meeting. Road maintenance and water use got particular attention. Two permit applications were pulled from a consent agenda of routine items, the first being from One Drop Agronomics for about 21,500 square feet of existing outdoor cultivation. Located in the Phillipsville area, the existing farm uses a well that has been analyzed by a geologic consultant and found to be unconnected to surface waters. Commissioner Jerome Curiazzi asked for discussion on the permit based on two issues, water storage and road maintenance.
I also found multiple inconsistencies in the on-site water storage across the staff report, the resolution, and the supporting documentation. So I'd like to request staff bring consistency to that. And this project is a neighboring to the Yeti application. We're not discussing that one. However, I noticed that there was a road maintenance association requirement for the Yeti application, and my understanding or how I reviewed this project is that that would involve roads and passing through this property. So assuming that's true, I would like to see that road maintenance association on this as well.
Planning staff informed the commission that the water storage amount has indeed changed. Storage has increased following One Drop's consultations with the State Department of Fish and Wildlife and is now at 57,000 gallons. And Planning Director John Ford agreed that a road maintenance condition should be added. With the road maintenance condition and others added, the permit was unanimously approved. Next up was a conditional use permit for 11,700 square feet of existing mixed light cultivation and 4,000 square feet of full sun cultivation in the Blocksburg area. Senior Planner Steven Santos outlined the farm's water use and some of the environmental conditions of the permit.
The point of diversion is from an on-stream pond. The estimated pond capacity is about 1 million gallons. In addition to that, 30,000 gallons in tanks are proposed. This project does include some on-site relocation and restoration. That's why it includes a special permit as well for restoration within those streamside management areas that were affected by the historical cultivation. It also includes conditions of approval requiring that two structures be removed. Those structures are labeled as Greenhouse 4 on the site plan, as well as Domestic Shed Number 4 on the site plan. There's also a condition of approval requiring restocking of timber that was removed after baseline, after 2015.
The farm's water use got a double checking. Commissioner Noah Levy asked about use of an on-stream pond as a water source during the months of March and November, which are outside of the period during which water can be transferred from the pond. The regional branch of the state's Water Resources Control Board is eyeing the situation and has set water use conditions for the applicant, Overland Road, LLC. Senior Planner Steven Santos explained that under the permit, Overland Road's water diversion during March and November is conditional.
There's a condition of approval that provides various scenarios to reconcile that disalignment. One is for the applicant to provide documentation from the water board demonstrating that the water board is fine with using water in those periods. Mm-hmm. Another option is to update the cultivation and irrigation schedule to align with the transfer period. Mm-hmm. And then a third option is the applicant could implement an additional water source like rainwater catchment or something like that and use that water to handle the irrigation needs during those seasons.
Commissioners were satisfied with the explanation and Overland's conditional use permit was unanimously approved. The commission also approved consent agenda permits for existing cannabis farms in Alder Point, Edersburg, Miranda, Dinsmore, and the Redwood Valley Berry Summit area. There were no cannabis permit hearing items on the commission's regular agenda. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
Ray Hamill brings us the details of how it has been a busy but successful summer for one local softball team, as well as all the other big sports stories of the week in this report.
It has been a very successful summer for one local travel softball team, and that continued to be the case this past week. Hello and welcome to this week's KMUD News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on that story in just a moment, and we'll also bring you up to date on the other big local sports stories of the week, including all the latest news on the Humboldt Crabs, why it was a good week for one local youth baseball team, what's next for two of the top young baseball players in the area, news of some changes for the upcoming Ferndale horse races, and why local football fans have reason to feel excited. But first up, it's been a busy but successful summer for the Mad River Mist 18U softball team, and that continued to be the case this past week. The local travel team, which is made up of players from six of the nine HDNL softball programs, capped a hectic few weeks with a trip to Medford, Oregon last weekend to compete in the Bring It On tournament, and they went 7-1 over the 4 days on their way to winning the championship. The tournament title was the second of the summer for the local travel club, which began the season with a tournament win at Reading and also placed third at another 16-team tournament. Former Hoopa High School standout Tatiana Colgrove, who is coming off an outstanding debut season at the college level playing for Mendocino College, was named tournament MVP in Medford after posting five of the Mist's seven tournament wins in the circle. Colgrove got the victory in relief in an 11-7 victory over North Medford Black in the championship game. In local baseball, meanwhile, the Humboldt Crabs will close out another successful summer. Unfortunately for the Crabs, they barely missed out on a place in the inaugural Pacific Empire League Championship Series this week. After starting league play with seven consecutive losses, including six straight on the road, the Crabs bounced back to win 14 of their next 19 league games and would push the Lincoln Potters all the way for one of the two spots in the championship series. However, they ultimately fell just short and finished half a game out of second place in the final regular season league standings. Last weekend, the Crabs were swept by the California Tigers in a three-game non-league series. They lost 11-8, 9-5, and 12-1. The Crabs players, however, quickly put that disappointment behind them with a pair of victories over the Athletic Edge Express this week. On Tuesday night, they beat the Edge Express 7-4, and they followed that with a 9-3 win on Wednesday. A pair of former Eureka Loggers played big roles in Wednesday's win. Keenan Morris, who has enjoyed a very good summer playing for the longtime local club, led a 14-hit team performance at the plate and finished 3-for-5 with a home run, a double, three RBIs, and two runs. The home run was the third of the summer for the 2021 Eureka High graduate. Rogan Bodie also impressed in the win. The 2023 Eureka graduate, who just joined the team for the stretch run of the season, got his first ever hits for the Crabs and finished 2-for-3 with a double, a walk, an RBI, and a run scored. Remarkably, Morris and Bodie are two of five former Eureka High players who are playing for the Crabs this summer, along with Parker Rogers, Miles Standish, and Rogan's older brother, Hayden Bodie. In local youth baseball, meanwhile, a group of young players who may someday play for the Crabs had a big showing at last weekend's Rumble in the Redwoods Youth Baseball Tournament. The tournament was played here on the North Coast and was co-hosted by the Northern Humboldt Steelheads, the Lost Coast Legends, and the Six Rivers Kings. And it featured 25 teams playing in four different age groups, including 19 out of area teams. And it was a good weekend for the Lost Coast Legends 10 U players, who won all four of their games on the way to a tournament championship. The Lost Coast Legends defeated the Redwood Giants 10-6 in their championship game. Elsewhere in local baseball, two of the best young players in the area recently announced where they will be playing next. Former Eureka Logger and College of the Redwoods standout Parker Rogers, who is enjoying an impressive summer playing for the Humboldt Crabs, is taking his talents to Minot State in North Dakota after two good years playing at Seor. Rogers will join another former Eureka and current Crabs player, Hayden Bodie, who joined the Division II Beavers last year. Another former Logger, Cooper Olson, also recently announced where he will be playing college ball next after committing his future to Butte College, one of the top junior college programs in the state. Olson, who graduated from Eureka High this year, enjoyed a standout career playing for the Loggers and was named All-League this past spring after leading the team to a second place in the Big Five and helping them reach the Charles Lakin Tournament Championship game. In other local sports news this week, the Ferndale Horse Races will feature an expanded schedule this year, with the action stretching over three different weekends. The horse races get underway on August 23rd as part of the Humboldt County Fair and will include 3 days of racing on back-to-back weekends, including racing on Labor Day, before concluding on the weekend of September 7th and 8th. And finally this week, local football fans have reason to feel excited, with the high school and college seasons now less than a month away. The teams will begin practicing within the next couple of weeks, and the local high school season officially kicks off on August 29th when St. Bernard's travels to play the Warriors in Hoopa in a rare Thursday night showdown. The Soundfall Cubs, who are the defending North Coast Section champions in eight-person football, will kick off their season the following week at Fort Bragg. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
Turning to Mendocino. The remote southern section of the Lost Coast Trail will be inaccessible by vehicle until mid-November. Those who would like to recreate within the Sinkyon Wilderness near Jones Beach will have to enter the park via foot. KMUD's Kelly Lincoln reports.
The Bryce Linthorn Road south of Four Corners will be closed to all traffic for 6 to 8 weeks during repairs to a slip-out from a storm in 2019. KMUD News spoke with Chris Delghini, a senior engineering technician with Mendocino County's Department of Transportation.
So we're going to be doing a closure of the road, Bryson Road, up in the Sinkyon Wilderness area. We're doing a 2019 storm damage repair of the road. There was a pretty significant slide up there that took out a portion of the road. We need to go in there and repair. We're going to be building a wall. So beginning tomorrow, August 6th, the road will be closed for approximately 6 to 8 weeks. And there will be no traffic, no foot traffic. It's completely 100% closed to everybody.
Everyone must use the Lost Coast Trail to enter the area. The road will be closed to pedestrians as well as vehicles.
It's extremely narrow for anybody that's been in there. You can barely find spots to get two vehicles past each other. And, you know, we're going to be in there with a large drill rig and heavy excavators and whatnot and backing large concrete trucks down in there. So it's going to be extremely tight, and we definitely don't want even just pedestrian foot traffic coming in there, because it's going to be dangerous. We're already kind of worried for ourselves. Let alone having to worry about the public coming in there and getting in the way.
They are repairing 2019 storm damage. Delghini describes the repairs that will be made.
Basically, what happened was we lost probably about half the lane. We were able to kind of put it back, but what we're going to do is we're going to build two soldier pile walls in there that will basically make it so we can actually put the road back full width, and it'll kind of hold everything back, so there won't be any possibility of that sliding anymore. And then we're also replacing a culvert that's is partially plugged up and damaged during the storm as well. So that's all going to get replaced and should be nice and passable once we get in there and finish it.
These repairs are being funded by the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
This was actually a FEMA-funded project. So we've been working with state parks on this, obviously, because it's their area that's being affected by the closure and whatnot. But no, it's funded through the FEMA storm damage.
Delgino notes that Mountain View Road out of Boonville will also be closed for repairs during the day.
Right now, try to avoid Mountain View Road in out of Boonville, between Boonville and the coast. It is closed. We are doing our 2024 corrective maintenance, so it's being ground up and resurfaced for pretty much the entire road. So if you can, try to avoid it as much as possible right now. It's currently closed from, I believe, 8 o'clock in the morning till, sorry about that. It's currently closed from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon, and then it opens up for a half hour from 12 to 12:30, and then it's closed again until, I believe, about 5 p.m.
He repeated that the road into Sinkione will be closed through autumn.
Right now, try to avoid Mountain View Road in out of Boonville, between Boonville and the coast. It is closed. We are doing our 2024 corrective maintenance, so it's being ground up and resurfaced for pretty much the entire road. So if you can, try to avoid it as much as possible right now.
This is Kelly Lincoln reporting for KMUD News.
A pipe bomb was located in the mailbox of a Ukiah residence and was rendered safe by the Sonoma County Bomb Squad. KMUD News reached out to the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office for comment. However, they have not returned our inquiry as of news time. But in a press release, it states that on August 3rd at approximately 11:05 a.m., the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office was notified about a suspicious item discovered inside a residential roadside mailbox in the 4600 block of Burke Hill Drive in Ukiah. The reporting party suspected that the item may be a bomb. Sheriff's Office personnel, including Deputy Thong and his canine partner Jet, who are certified in explosives detection, responded to the scene. Upon visual examination, Deputy Thong identified the item as a potential pipe bomb. K9 Jet was deployed and alerted on the item, confirming the presence of explosive materials. The Sonoma County Sheriff's Office Bomb Squad was called to assist with the safe disposal of the device. Their personnel responded promptly and successfully rendered the device safe. The remnants of the device were collected as evidence for DNA identification of the person or persons responsible for creating and placing the device inside the mailbox. The Mendocino County Sheriff's Office stated that there is no evidence suggesting that the device was placed with intent to harm any specific person or property. However, their investigation is ongoing. Anyone with information regarding this incident is urged to contact the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office Dispatch Center at 707-463-4086. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Javier Rodriguez. And thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mintz, Ray Hamill, and Kelly Lincoln. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.